Rebellion up to the 9 foot homemade oak bar. My name is Craig Toth, your host of Minor League News and Brews, talking about everything around the Pirates minor league system and giving you some beer reviews at the end of the show. This past week on Pirates social media, X, Facebook, wherever you have your Pirates discussions, I saw a lot of stuff going on around something that I have cautioned fans about previously, and that is box score scouting. It's basically guys that just happen to look at how a player is doing down in the minor leagues, looking at, you know, how well they're hitting, getting on base, slugging. I mean, you're basically looking at, you know, the box scores of the game. And one player that fell into this due to Jared Triolo struggling a little bit at the plate, fans still not really warming up to the idea of having Aleca Williams as pretty much a bench player who's playing a couple days a week, started mentioning Leover Peguero, a.k.a. Peggy. At the time of this recording, the game on Friday, 4-12, happy 4-12 Pittsburgh Day to all that celebrate, everybody in the Pittsburgh area and all the Pittsburgh fans. Recording before that game goes on, but at the time of this recording, Peggy has 47 plate appearances, is slashing 400, 404, 511, with a 139 WRC+, striking out at 21.3% of the time. And a lot of times people don't even go that far. Walking at 2.1% of the time. 18 total hits in those 47 plate appearances. The first thing I look at when you look into this a little bit further, and this isn't even getting into the game film just yet, right now he has a BABIP, the BABIP, of batting average on balls in play of 500. So pretty much everything that Peggy is hitting right now is finding that soft grass. Now, if you go on X or Facebook, most likely X on this one, and you search Leover Peguero, you will see his five-hit performance and saying, you know, that Peggy is on fire with the three, you know, campfire emojis. Now, if you see some of those hits, you see what happens when somebody is actually, you know, watching the minor league games. You can order MILB TV. It's part of, you know, I believe the MLB package at this point in time. But for those that don't, I think it's $24.99 for the entire season. And you can see that, you know, what these hits actually look like. And if you're not going to, you know, subscribe to MILB TV, you can actually go on to StatCast, copy the number or look up the number of what the game feed is for the minor league games that have StatCast. You put that in there and you will get all of the same StatCast metrics that you would get for your major league game. I mean, it doesn't have as many of the player breakdowns and as much of, you know, the fine tuning of stuff and everything that you would see in a major league baseball game. But one thing that you could definitely see here, if you wanted to, you know, you're not going to watch the games and you wanted to go further than that box score scouting, and you could look at exit velos for these players. You can look at launch angle. And I know that this is going to be me nerding out just a little bit here. But basically, anything that is over 95 miles per hour is seen as, you know, a hard hit baseball, that you're actually barreling up the baseball, and it's not something that you are either topping, squibbing, blooping, you know, whatever it may be. And obviously, you know, if you have those higher exit velos, that kind of goes into, you know, whether a player is, you know, going to get quote unquote hot or not. I know there was a lot of stuff last year with Ke'Bryan Hayes's exit velocity and, you know, his BABIP, the BABIP. I always say BABIP, and I think that's wrong, BABIP. And saying that, you know, you could see that turnaround coming, because if you're hitting the ball hard on a consistent basis, you know, more than likely those hits will start to drop in. The other piece of this is launch angle. And for us older people here, like, I have fully embraced the advanced metrics, but I know that a lot of people haven't. But according to StatCast, a hit with a launch angle of between 8 and 32 degrees is actually kind of your sweet spot for when you are, once again, barreling up the ball and whatever it may be. And I went and I looked at that, you know, 5-hit performance from Leover Peguero back on April 5th. His first hit, and look at this, you're looking for hits that are above 95 miles per hour and that are falling in that 8 to 13 degree launch angle, that range right there. So get out your protractor, whatever it may be, and start to see, like, how, you know, the angle of the hit that the player is having. And basically, he had only one hit that would be considered a hard hit. Unfortunately, in that hit, it did not fall within the range of that 8 to 32 degrees. So I'm just going to go through these here. I know it's going to be a lot of numbers for you guys, but I think that you're going to see my point after I go through some of Peggy's hits from that night. The first hit was a single. He hit at 78.9 miles per hour with a negative 10 launch angle, which basically means that he's hitting that ball straight into the ground and not hitting it very hard. The one that fell in above the 95 miles per hour, his second hit a single, 98.8 miles per hour with a negative 14 launch angle. So once again, you know, that one he did hit the ball hard, but hit it straight into the ground. His double came in at 88.6 miles per hour. Now, this one did have the launch angle of 13 degrees, but it's one of those ones that just kind of, like, falls in there, and where that BABIP, the BABIP, goes to, you know, something just kind of finding a blade of grass where it wouldn't normally be a hit. The next hit is a single. 76.3 miles per hour, negative 7 on the launch angle. And then the last hit, 90.4 miles per hour, and it didn't even have, it was an even launch angle. So he did, you know, didn't hit it straight into the ground, but definitely didn't get it the pop that a regular hit would get. Of the 18 hits that Leover Peguero has gotten over, you know, this period of time, I was only able to find 3 that fit into a ball that would have actually been barreled up. So on March 29th, he had a 107.4 mile per hour single with a 9-degree launch angle. The next day on 3:30, he had a 101.6 mile per hour single with a 10-degree launch angle. And then he had on April 9th, he had a 99.4 mile per hour double with a 19-degree launch angle. I mean, he did have some hard hit balls at other points in time. He had a four hit night on April 9th. Had a 101 mile per hour single, a 108 mile per hour single. But both of those had launch angles that were 4 degrees and 3 degrees. On a night where, you know, that first night, that opening night where he had that 107.4 mile per hour single with a 9 degree launch angle, he also had another single that he hit at 55 miles per hour with a negative 65 degree launch angle. And you can also look at how far these balls went. That ball went 2 feet. Now, I know that people will be saying this is like too much advanced metrics, a lot of different stuff that's going on, but it's just basically, number one, just imploring people not to just look at the stats. And I know that a lot of times, I mean, later on, you can come back to me and say, you know, you're going to do your top five Pirates prospect performers. And a lot of the stuff is just going to be, you know, stats related. But in watching the games, and talking more about, you know, where a player has come from to what they're doing now, I mean, you can kind of use a lot of that stuff to come up with, you know, why a player is performing better and why I would list them as that. But it, believe me, it's not going to be, you know, based upon a 55 mile per hour, negative 65, you know, launch angle single. And it's going to dive a little bit deeper into that. And this isn't saying that, you know, it's, I don't want, you know, Leover to have, you know, any of these hits or whatever. But I mean, Ben Cherington and John Baker all the time talk about, you know, checking these different types of boxes in order to see a player get a promotion. And checking those boxes goes way beyond just the box score scouting that I am kind of cautioning you guys from doing. Everybody loves curve baseball, including me and my soon-to-be teenage son, who took the 2 hour, which turned into, with traffic and stuff that was going on, a little bit under a 3 hour trip out to Altoona, out to one of our favorite places, People's Natural Gas Field, for the home opener for the Altoona Curve. And if anybody's listened to this show and has listened to myself and Chris Lanuti on the regular feed on Box in the Basement that comes out every Wednesday, you know that not only am I a minor league baseball fan, but I am also a fan of the Altoona Curve. When I had John Moses on for last year's season recap, he kind of put me in my place just kind of a little bit when I was basically talking about, you know, the disappointment of the Curve's record and for the season and talking about, you know, the number of players who started out with the Curve last year and ultimately ended up playing, you know, with your Pittsburgh Pirates at PNC Park. But for me, I mean, when you go there, yes, there are, you know, a lot of general minor league fans, people coming out to see certain players. This time they were playing the Harrisburg Senators, the Double A affiliate of the Washington Nationals. So there were some, you know, fans out there with their Nationals hats on, you know, coming out to see a player, you know, like Dylan Cruz, Robert Hassel III, Brady House. So, but it's such a great environment and such a great way to watch a baseball game. But when you go out there, and if you haven't been out there, you know, please go out to go see an Altoona Curve game. Find a local, you know, minor league ballpark, wherever it may be. I know that in some ways with the some of the teams being taken away when, you know, Rob Manfred took away a lot of the teams, even some that, you know, I had loved the hats of and different stuff. But find yourself there because it's almost like a trip back in time. At the end of the game, this is a game that went into extra innings. It was an old school contest because, believe me, even with the pitch clock and, you know, the runner on second and everything, I mean, this game was, you know, well over 3 hours. Great entertainment, a comeback by the Curve, you know, celebrating that type of stuff. But towards the end of the game, you see older fans who actually have what was probably from the Altoona Mirror, the preview for the team, and was like looking up the players' numbers to kind of find out, you know, who these players would be, not even taking, you know, the game book as that would be there when you're walking in. And, you know, people actually in, you know, full Curve gear, and you can tell that they've been wearing this gear, you know, for 10, 15 years, and are sitting there, you know, hoping that their Altoona Curve, you know, will win the first home game of the season. As a prospect fan and as a fan of the Altoona Curve, I mean, this game was, like I said, an absolute treat. Getting to see Dylan Cruz go 4-for-5, hitting a home run to center, which, you know, hurt my Pirates prospect heart, but for something that, you know, me and my son can basically say, once Dylan Cruz makes it to the majors, that we got to see, you know, Dylan Cruz hit his first home run of the 2024 season at PNG Field. And this comes into, you know, the hurting my Pirates prospect heart, a very rough outing for Braxton Ashcraft. 3 innings pitch, 3 Ks, 0 walks, but gave up 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 of those on home runs. For, you know, the Harrisburg Senators, like I had mentioned, you got Dylan Cruz, Robert Hassel III, the first round pick, number 8 overall from the San Diego Padres in 2020. Brady House, the first round pick, number 11 overall for the Washington Nationals. Nick Senzel, former Cincinnati pick, round 1, pick number 2 overall at 28 years old. And for your Altoona Curve, the hero of the day, Aaron Shackelford. He was a guy that, you know, Pirates fans were calling to possibly, you know, show up in Pittsburgh last year before, you know, Carlos Santana, you know, hit his stride with the Pirates, with G-Man Choi injured. Aaron Shackelford was on a little bit of a tear in AAA Indianapolis, but this year he's back down in AA Altoona. 2-for-5, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. The 27-year-old, you know, Pirates farmhand. The last one, you know, kind of just barely sneaking over into where, you know, the roller coaster is at, and everybody going nuts and the game going into extra innings. With Kervin Pichardo, newly acquired player, who was had like an 0-for-4 night, getting the walk-off hit, that, you know, play that song, and, you know, Altoona coming out and a fireworks show after the game. I mean, to me, as a fan of the minor leagues, it doesn't get much better than that. I don't mind spending, you know, almost, you know, going on 4 hours at the ballpark. You're so close. It's like watching a little league or a high school baseball game. And I really, I mean, we've been talking about it already that if we lived a little bit closer, we would definitely have season tickets to the Altoona Curve. And we're going to get back out there at least two or three more times this year. Just such a great experience for a minor league baseball fan and any baseball fan in general. Are you a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates and supporting small businesses? If so, Bucks in the Basement has you covered. Introducing the Bucks in the Basement Vouch Store, with products from places like Split Rock Coffee. Coffee with a purpose. Established, owned, and operated by disabled veterans sworn to protect America. Or Camp Craft Cocktails, more than cocktails. It's a mission to build longer tables where everyone is welcome. We try and vouch for these products. Bucks in the Basement, proudly brought to you by Vouch. Visit our Vouch store at bucksinthebasement.com or simply click on the link in the show notes. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, brought it back for the second week in a row, doing the top five Pirates prospect performers. And like I said, don't do the box score, you know, scouting. But some of this, like I said, is going to be a lot on stats, but going to give some background as to, you know, why some of these players are selected. And in no particular order, number one, Hunter Barco, 2022 draft pick, second round, number 44 overall, from the University of Florida. This is a guy bringing back my writing days. Last offseason, wrote about him, talked to him about his recovery from Tommy John surgery. A guy who in, you know, his last year in Florida came out just, you know, throwing so well. Ended up having Tommy John surgery, which, I mean, everybody's scouts all over the place basically said that this guy was, prior to that, a pretty much a slam dunk first-round draft pick. He fell to the Pirates. He's had two starts so far this season. Unfortunately, the one that I was watching last night was cut short. That's the other thing about the start of this minor league season is, so many games are canceled. I mean, April showers bring May flowers, but they cancel a lot of minor league baseball games or shorten a lot of minor league baseball games on the regular. I know Altoona's game is canceled again tonight. Hopefully the field is in good condition for the Paul Skeens mustache bobblehead tomorrow night, to everybody who's going and everybody who's listening to this and is going to say it's not tomorrow night, Craig, it's tonight, or that it already happened. But Hunter Barco, in his first outing, came out a little bit rough, put a couple got base runners on with walks. There was a little bit of a mound visit. And then after that, three innings pitched, the two base on balls that I had mentioned, and six Ks to boot. Last night, threw four innings pitched, gave up two hits, no walks, four Ks. Guy has just looked really good. And I know that, you know, this is another one of those, you know, quote unquote, you know, soft tossing lefties, a guy that sits in the low 90s with his fastball, comes in with a low 80s slider, an above average changeup, above average command, but that low slot, deceptive delivery, I mean, just really kind of sets him apart. And for him to, you know, only be in his first full season in the minors, he's a guy that I'm hoping at some point in time here, I'm expecting, if he continues to perform like this, I'll be able to drive out to PNG Field, see him pitch for the curve, a guy that I'm really excited about. Like I said, wrote about him, not number one, but the first guy that I was thinking about. And this is kind of going to be maybe a little bit of a Greensboro Grasshoppers heavy list, because number two is Alessandro Ekerlani. People may have read some articles about him. He is the first player in history, international signing out of San Marino, technically part of Italy, but it's this tiny little community. There's a lot of great articles on there. I went and read another one again about him that was written. He was in the Arizona Fall League this year. So go search that. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes. Mid-90s fastball, mid-80s cutter, low 80s breaking ball. Only turns 20 years old on 420, so in a little bit over a week here. Four innings pitched, five Ks, two hits, one base on ball. Just looked, I mean, for his age, for his experience, doesn't have, you know, a ton of innings in the minors. Had spent 2 years in the FCL, was in Bradenton last year, Arizona Fall League, like I mentioned. A guy to keep an eye on. Number three, Jack Brannigan. For anybody that's listening to this here, I've said I wanted to see Jack Brannigan in Altoona, but the other thing I wanted to see from Jack Brannigan was just basically working on his overall approach to the plate. In 2023, in Bradenton, his strikeout rate, 26.9%. In high A Greensboro, we saw that climb to 33.5%. So far this season, go read the stuff from actual friend of the podcast, friend in general, and Anthony Murphy at Nola Jeffy over at Bucks on Deck Substack, talking about, and follow him, both of those on X as well, talking about seeing a different approach at the plate from Jack Brannigan. Only 23 plate appearances thus far. Tack a couple on that he had in the shortened game last night, slashing 375, 565, 563. Don't even look at the WRC plus because it's at 248. But right now, seeing a 26.1 base on ball rate, a 4.3% K rate. Another walk last night, no Ks so far in that game for when it gets finished, but you're going to see that base on ball rate go up for him. Loving to see that approach. Definitely want to see him up in Altoona because, for me, that's like one of the biggest jumps in professional baseball is from high A to double A, and then the other one being from triple A to the majors. So want to see that happen for him sooner rather than later. Number four, Lonnie White Jr. For him, I mean, the power is something that we've been waiting to see on full display. Unfortunately, has had an injury-riddled professional career thus far. In that shortened game that I was watching last night, put out his fourth home run of the season, add a strikeout onto the nine Ks he has had so far, three of those coming in the first game of the season, a couple walks. Of the eight hits he's had so far, four of them have been home runs, two of those definitely power to the opposite field. So looking to see, you know, what can come from Lonnie White Jr. this year. I mean, I don't fall into when you see somebody post, we have an outfielder waiting in the wings. I mean, we've seen a lot of this previously, unfortunately, from a player who I still like, who I got to see play in Altoona for his third season, in Matt Frazier. somebody, you know, who had performed well in Greensboro. Haven't seen him perform as well in Altoona. So I'm not, you know, jumping on the waiting in the wings bandwagon yet, but good to see him healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy. Number five, I mean, this one right here is a no-doubter. And until he is eventually promoted to Pittsburgh, and I'm going to talk about that process here. It might be end up being a little bit longer of a show here, even though I do only have two beers to review, and that's Paul Skeens. Through the two games that he has pitched, is scheduled to pitch here now on 4/12, was supposed to pitch last night. That game was rained out. In two games, six innings pitched, 11 Ks, one hit, one walk, has looked like, you know, kind of a man amongst boys. And right now, he's only pitched three innings in each of his outings. So, I mean, I'm kind of just like maybe just grasping at straws here, or just trying to predict the tea leaves at this point in time and what I think, you know, they kind of might do with him. And this is based upon the fact, I think that at some point in time, he is going to go four innings. If that happens today, I have his next like 1, 2, 3, 4 starts coming on 4/12, 4/17, 4/23, and then 4/28. And I see all of those being him building up. So if he doesn't pitch, you know, the four innings tonight, I could see him going the four innings for a few more of those starts. And that would pretty much line up. I've seen out there from like Jonathan Mayo, Jim Callis, they had made the statement about 5-3 the Friday home game against Colorado. With him, you know, kind of having this start bump back, I see 4-4 on that Saturday at home against Colorado as being, you know, based on how he performs, and if he gets up and seeing him get up to at least those four innings pitched, that he could come in his first major league start. And we've seen this with guys even coming from spring training. Chris and I had talked about this, you know, nobody getting that six innings, nobody getting that, you know, quality start. His first outing in Pittsburgh, if it's five innings, I'm not really worried about it. But if they want to see him build up a little bit more, he would get the start on 4-4 for the Indians. And then the next thing I would see is 4-9, 4-14, 4-19, also with the Indians, because the Pirates go on a little bit of a road trip there. I do think his first start will be at home. So if it's not on 5-4, I'm looking at Friday night, 5/24 against the Atlanta Braves. Would be a little bit tougher of a test, you know, than coming in against Colorado, but that's how I'm working things out in my head here. Listen to this, comment when I share it, let me know if I'm wrong, but this is, I'm just kind of working this through as we're going here. But I mean, I do think that we will see Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh before June hits.
A pitcher of beer, a pitcher of beer. Let's order another pitcher of beer. That pitcher of beer should come over here. I love that pitcher of beer.
A very cool thing that the Altoona Curve did was they partnered up with Levity Brewing Company, whose brewery is in Indiana, Pennsylvania. They have a tap house now in Altoona. So next time, hopefully I'll go out there for a day game and be able to stop at the tap room beforehand in Altoona. But they have paired to create two beers that are only at PNG Field. The first one is Baseball Skies, a 5.0 ABV Kolsch with a hint of lime. This is a delicious beer. Has the beautiful baseball skies, the cloudy skies that you will sometimes see there in Altoona on the can, the Altoona curve, the engineer logo on there, just a great can. So for me, I mean, I might be scoring this a little bit high. I'm having it at the ballpark. Give this one a 500. Knock it down to 450. The next one is the Play the Song Pale Ale, coming in at 7% ABV. Everybody knows Play the Song. You know, Al comes out of the outfield there in center field on the can, a very cool can that has him emerging, you know, out of center field. The Play the Song Pale Ale coming in at 7%. Give that one a 475. Bring it down to 425. Had a great time out there. Can't wait to go back again. But until next time, let's go Indians. Let's go Curve. Let's go Hoppers. And let's go Bradenton Marauders.